It's time for our weekly look at what our lawmakers in Washington are up to. With USA Today politics editor Paul Singer, the government will shut down in 8 days if Congress doesn't pass a spending bill. That's the priority at the moment for the lame duck Congress.
And the House Intelligence Committee found late last month that there was no government wrongdoing in regard to the September 11th, 2012 terrorist attack in Benghazi. But a special Republican panel continues to investigate, and it's costing money. Paul Singer joins us every week at this time. Paul, it's great to have you back.
Hi, Veronica. Happy post-Thanksgiving.
Happy post-Thanksgiving to you, too. So looking at December 11th, this looming deadline, what happens if Congress doesn't agree on a funding bill by then?
I quit my job and leave town. the funding bill runs until December 11th, and at that point, without any further action from Congress, government would begin to shut down again. The whole idea was that they would pass this bill until December, let the elections happen, and then pass a long-term spending bill that will extend until next September. Unfortunately, after President Obama made his announcement about executive action on immigration, a number of Republicans obviously were very upset by that maneuver and have now said, hold it, let's look at the spending bill and see if we can figure out a way to defund the immigration action when passing that bill. That creates a really interesting challenge, because obviously the president's not going to sign a bill that defunds his immigration action. So now we're back at the showdown again. Will Republicans pass a bill that the president can sign that will keep the government open? Drama and, you know, heavy music begins.
Right. So here we are, another moment of political brinksmanship. But the New York Times is reporting, interested to see whether you agree, that shutting down the government and going too far with this is not something that might benefit Republicans.
Well, benefit or not is not sort of, I don't judge the benefit. It is very, very clear the Republican leadership has said they have no interest in a shutdown at all. There is a small group of Republicans who are very adamant about this, that they're going to fight this tooth and nail. But I don't think any of the Republicans really want to shut down the government. What they're probably going to try and do is find some way to extend the funding bill. One of the things they're talking about is, what if we fund everything for the rest of the year, for the rest of the fiscal year, 2015, except for the Department of Homeland Security, which is responsible for these immigration policies. That one will fund through maybe February, and that'll give us another chance to fight this out later. The other possibility is maybe a symbolic vote. Maybe we can have a resolution basically decries the president's action as an improper use of executive authority. It has no binding impact, but it allows Republicans to lodge their protest officially. That kind of thing might get us around an actual shutdown problem.
And what kind of message does that send, I guess, about the end of this year's Congress and about how things might change?
You know, I don't know. It's a very good question what this means. I mean, we'll see in the next week if John Boehner can get everybody in the room and say, people, we are not going to have another shutdown. We are not going to once again have a kind of, you know, mad scramble to solve these problems 2 weeks later. We're going to do this in an orderly fashion, and everyone's going to agree and get on board. If he can get them to do that, even if they're agreeing to a delay, you know, kick this off until February, for instance, it will suggest that Boehner has corralled the most rowdy of his caucus and has figured out a way to get them on board when needed. There was a real issue 6 months ago or a year ago, you know, getting all the Republicans on board. Now, what happens in January when the new Congress is actually in place and some of these people really want to make a name for themselves, I don't know. But an ability for Boehner to win this week with a sort of what you consider the institutional prerogative first would be a big thing and a big sign for them going forward.
Now, it doesn't sound like there's much appetite for there to be an actual government shutdown. But how far can both sides go with this before the country and Congress enters a sort of crisis siege mentality, the markets get affected, and we end in a new sort of emotional tenor about politics right now?
Well, it's pretty much always like that now, isn't it? I mean, I don't think we're going to get to that point. My suspicion is by the end of this week, we'll have a pretty clear path forward. I'm told that Speaker Boehner has a commitment. I believe he's attending the wedding of one of his staff members, like the 12th or 13th of December. And so he wants to be able to go to that wedding. He wants this to be over. So I believe we'll see this whole thing wrap up sometime at the end of this week. We'll have a clear resolution. Nobody wants to ruin Christmas. No one wants to ruin the holidays. And certainly, I think, as you say, nobody wants to throw the markets into a tailspin. So my suspicion is this will be resolved earlier rather than later. But, you know, sometimes I'm wrong. So who knows?
No.
No, wrong.
Not you, Paul.
Yeah, never.
Well, you know, moving on to another story, one that's been going on for a while. At the end of last month, the House Intelligence Committee found no government wrongdoing surrounding the September 11th, 2012 terrorist attack in Benghazi. How did they get to that decision?
Well, there's been several investigations in the House of Representatives and in the Senate as well, actually. Congress has been looking into this matter fairly vigorously. And what the House Intelligence Committee did, a two-year analysis and study, and they interviewed a lot of people, and what they said was essentially there was chaos on the ground. There was sort of a fog of war on the ground in Benghazi. It is true now, we believe, that most of the terrorist attack, the events on the ground there were by and large a terrorist attack by a pretty organized Al-Qaeda cell. The issue is at the very moment, it appeared maybe there were some protests, there was some intelligence that was coming through that was suggesting it might be different groups. There was a lot of confusion about exactly what had taken place. And so this committee report concluded that there was never a what they call a stand down order. There was nobody ordering the military not to go in and rescue Americans. There was no a failure of intelligence. There was some confusion, but no failure. There was no intention to mislead on the part of the White House when they said at the outset that they thought it was a response to a protest. So they basically debunked a whole bunch of the biggest allegations against the administration in this matter. Now, that doesn't necessarily make a difference because in May, Congress created a standalone committee to kind of reinvestigate the whole Benghazi affair. That is the Benghazi committee that I've been reporting on the past couple of weeks.
So how does their mission, this new special panel, differ from the old one?
Well,
the committee.
What they will say is, the other committees that did this work all did it from their own perspective. So the Intelligence Committee was looking into intelligence issues. The military, the Armed Forces Committee was looking into how did the Pentagon respond. What this committee says they're doing is sort of bringing that all to one place and telling a coherent story from start to finish about what actually happened that day. They also say that they have, hired some federal prosecutors who will be able to get better sources and better information and more detail. So they think that their mission is, and the Republicans have said pretty clearly, the mission of this committee is to finally and completely tell the story of the attack on the U.S. compound in Benghazi. Democrats say it's a tremendous waste of time and money because there's no real unanswered questions left. We already know what happened, and nobody's really at specific fault.
And you recently wrote a story about this, about the new special panel and the amount of money it's costing. How much does it cost?
At the moment, they will end up spending about $1.5 million this year. But remember, they weren't set up until June or July. And even then, they've been sort of hiring up gently through the year. And they've only had one public hearing. Their second public hearing is next week. They are now at the rate where they've got about 23 or 24 employees. It's about the size of the Veterans Affairs Committee on Capitol Hill. And it is spending at about a rate of $250,000 a month, which means that next year, if this thing runs for a whole other year, it will be a $3 million committee, which is pretty good money to spend on a House committee. It is not my job to judge whether that is a good or a bad expenditure of taxpayer resources, but that's what it will cost. And again, it will end up being about the same size and about the same cost as the Veterans Affairs Committee.
Can you frame this for us in terms of Congress right now? Is this seen as primarily political theater, or is this something that constituents, they want a cohesive narrative out of Benghazi?
Well, it depends on who you ask, obviously. I mean, there are a lot of people who still believe that Benghazi is, you know, a great cover-up of the Obama administration. And keep in mind, the reason that Benghazi is a lively topic in political circles is because at the top of the State Department at the time was Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who may very well be a Democratic presidential candidate in 2016. So any opportunity to find fault with the Obama administration on Benghazi is also an opportunity to find fault with Hillary Clinton and use it against her in a presidential campaign if there is one. But, you know, you certainly can't dismiss the idea of good fact-finding by Congress in what was a really tragic event overseas and the death of a U.S. ambassador, I believe, for the first time since the 1970s, on post overseas. So the question for other minds, not me, is whether this is really the appropriate use of those kind of investigative resources. I do not know. What I do know is that there are certain parts of the Republican Party, particularly, that believe there is much more of a story to tell about Benghazi and that would have reason to benefit from a continuation of this investigation.
Now, before we let you go, yesterday the Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation met to talk about domestic violence within pro sports. What happened there?
Well, interestingly, the major commissioners of the major leagues didn't show up, but they had some, you know, high-profile people who could talk about what sports are doing to address domestic violence. You know, Congress doesn't really have a lot of authority to do much here. They every now and then threaten to, you know, I don't know, revoke the whatever it is, the leagues have this exemption from antitrust laws and stuff. You know, there's a bunch they can threaten to do, but it's really just an opportunity for Congress to bring attention to an important social issue and to raise the pressure on these leagues to do something about it. And I think in the wake of the Ray Rice matter, in your part of the country, obviously the Adrian Peterson, the running back for the Vikings, there are enough high-profile cases that I think the NFL certainly feels very singed by this issue and really feels a need to get out in front of it. I don't know that Major League Baseball and the Basketball Association have really had cases that have been so high profile that have made them want to reconsider their positions. But that's sort of why Congress does these things, not because they're going to pass a bill, not because they're going to, you know, be able to take away their birthday, but because they're going to be able to use that spotlight to draw further attention to the issue. Now, I'll say, as a flip side to that, that hearing went on and it didn't get a lot of attention. It really was not a very high-profile hearing, and you know, it has not been on the front page of any newspaper. So I don't know how well it did at that, you know, attempt to draw attention.
And we leave it there. Paul, thanks a lot for joining us, and have a great week.
Thanks, Veronica. Talk to you later.
We've been speaking to Paul Singer. He joins us every week at this time to give us the latest scoop on our lawmakers in Washington.